on the live line with us this morning is Supervisor David Rabbit, representing the 2nd District. Supervisor Rabbit, good to have you here.
Thanks, Pat. Good to be with you.
I understand that running for re-election is no longer a question for you next year. It's a given, yes?
Yeah, I really, I got to say, I enjoy the work. I enjoy the challenges. Certainly, we have a lot of those of late. I think I truly have something important to add. I felt that way for the last 7 years. I bring my experience, I think, not only professionally as an architect, but also, you know, serving in local government, city council, in the county. I think that's key. And I think in the broader terms, you know, especially with the work that we do at the county, my experience as a first-generation American that's really seen the opportunities that we have to offer to continually improve the quality of life for everyone in Sonoma County. And at the end of the day, that's what we're really all trying to do.
And indeed, and so there will be a June 5th primary for you, and also Supervisor Gore has announced his intention to run for re-election next year. And you're right, there is no lack of work to be done in the recovery efforts. How are you and your district doing at this stage of the game?
Well, certainly my district, you know, not being touched directly by the fires.
Directly,
you know,
right.
Still impacted. And what's interesting is tomorrow morning we have a meeting with the governor's office to talk about the fire aftermath, and specifically really trying to talk about the property loss damages that we have occurred, the tax losses. Petaluma, I think in this next year, their property tax loss is going to be about $216,000. That's a huge hit for Petaluma that has been struggling, and going forward for the county as a whole, it's over $18 million, and it climbs over $20 million next year.
$18 million, wow.
That's just on the estimated loss of secured property tax revenue. That's not talking about all the other costs that have been incurred, including, you know, what the number that really frightens me is that local match on the FEMA work. It's 6.25% for our county. And if they're talking about $1 billion cleanup, now you have to back out what the private insurance will pay,
right,
all those other costs that are countywide, we're liable for that 6.25% as the match currently exists. And we've been trying to get that match changed through Washington, D.C. to a 90-10 split. Right now it's 75-25, so it's higher. It would go down proportionally if we can get that changed.
Okay, so how much trouble are we in at this stage of the game, David? How much trouble is Sonoma County as a whole in right now?
We're really, well, these preliminary numbers, it's a serious hit. And, you know, we...
Because a lot of money's going out.
Yes, that's for sure. And, you know, again, we get great aid, but all that aid does not come for free. And there is a local component to it. And then also, obviously, the secured property loss, tax loss going forward, and by the time it takes to rebuild, one can imagine, you know, when you lose that, as Santa Rosa did, 5% of the housing,
yeah,
the amount of dollars that are going to go not come in because of that. Meanwhile, you're still out there not only providing the same services you were before, but you're actually doing more and spending more money at a time when you have less coming in. This is why, for me personally, and you know, I think I led the charge on different budget challenges that we've had in the past. I want to stay on the board to make sure that we get through that and be able to provide the recovery that we need to come out of this thing somehow better than we went into it. I think there's opportunities there, both on the housing front and resiliency front, and really looking at our systems to make sure that they are operating absolutely 100% efficiently going forward.
Boy, it's a big nut to crack.
Like you said earlier, you know. Yeah, there's no shortage of challenges, and I think it's important that we continue in that, you know, moving forward as quickly as possible.
And now, of course, I mean, you know, in a very rudimentary way, very tangible way, a lot of folks worried about the amount of space that we have in our landfills, because obviously, you know, tons and tons and tons of debris is being shipped out of the burned out areas and into our landfills.
Yeah. And, you know, we've worked for some time to really increase our diversion rates. And we went through that whole agreement with Republic Services to operate the landfill and to change the model that was the models historically have been that the more that you throw in the hole in the ground, the more money the operator would get. Well, we don't want that to be the incentive. We actually want to have less in the hole so we can have a longer term life of the landfill and hopefully get to the point one day in the future that you're not having a need for a landfill. You're reusing, recycling, and whatever's left.
And we're pretty good at that.
Digester. We are. And I got to say, the only thing we're fortunate in one way with this event that there was a brand new state-of-the-art line cell that was just constructed. That's where this debris is going. The water board is on, all the agencies that regulate landfills are on board saying, yes, that's appropriate use of that particular cell. Now, what it means for us here locally is there is a five-year cycle that the landfill has with the water board in terms of expansion plans. It'll speed up the next cell.
It won't last that long, right?
Which will again add to a cost that wasn't anticipated going forward. And hopefully that's on the list to ask FEMA about if there's a way to reimburse it. But like I said earlier, even the local match is going to be a hit that we didn't anticipate.
Yeah, it's going to be. I'm glad I'm not in charge of the budget over the next 5 years. I'll tell you that right now. Does seem like a good idea to have an architect on board, you know, since we are talking about rebuilding and revamping and recovering.
I got to say, and I know it sounds self-serving, but when you deal with land use issues a lot at the local government level, being an architect is really a great advantage to understand exactly what you're seeing, what's possible, what's not. But then also the vision of moving, how do you move forward within those processes? I've had lots of discussions. We're having lots of discussions right now about how best to rebuild the fire areas, whether it's how quickly we can process documents through a system that, you know, we do a good job, but it takes too long. And the costs creep up because we want 100% of the costs charged to the development. This is a unique circumstance where there's going to be a lot of people who they don't want to rebuild their home. They have to rebuild their home. And there's a huge difference. And we really need to step up as a county to make sure that we're serving them as best as possible. And I think a lot of it has to do with the process that we put them through and what we charge them. And I would say look for something very different going forward. And I think ultimately that might help us in the future really kind of work through the issues of how you actually have development processes go forward in a way that's fair and equitable and efficient.
And I'm sure it makes sense to you, Supervisor Rabbit, that in the midst of all this conversation, when so much effort is being exercised on trying how to rebuild and what we ought to do, there's a little bit of concern among homeowners, former homeowners who will again be homeowners, about making sure that the power of what is to come is in their hands as well.
Yes. Yeah, and they've been victimized once by the fire.
Yes.
And God help us if we add to that burden. We need to really, manage this as sensitively as possible going forward. It is still a process to go through a new building, but it doesn't have to be as painful as it has been in the past. And I think everyone's on board with that in the county. And I think it's important that we set that larger policy direction and work through imaginative and innovative ways so that we can serve people as best as possible.
Well, here's an innovative way, too, and it's already in process, and that is the relationship between the County of Sonoma and the Board of Supervisors and the City Council of Santa Rosa.
Yeah, and that was, again, something, a good thing that could come out of, usually we kind of sit back in our own little governmental silos, even though we're all related and really on top of one another in that case, but to collaborate and cooperate much, much more. And that really needs to be happening countywide, just like the tax loss for Petaluma. That's a portion that they're going to have to figure out what they need to do going forward.
Yeah.
They have opportunities for housing going forward. I think that's the bigger long-term question that we need to do as a county. We have thousands of housing units in the pipeline that haven't come to fruition with prices where they are, even pre-fire, we're at a pretty all-time high level, and those still haven't been built. Why? And those are projects that are within the urban core where we want them to be built, We need to figure out how we can improve that process as well.
Well, this conversation is going to continue long into the foreseeable future. Supervisor Abbott, thanks so much for being here today.
Thank you, Pat.
We look forward to our next conversation.
Great. Thank you so much.